You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everyone. This is Tim McMaster, along with our MLB.com Blue Jays reporter, Gregor Chisholm. We're going to take a break from our position-by-position breakdowns heading into spring training and kind of do a crash course spring training preview with you, Gregor. I have seven kind of fast-response questions to get answers for as we get ready for spring training to kind of get fans ready on what they should be looking out for and what the team's looking out for as they report to Dunedin very soon. So question number one is, what's the difference here in 2017? When you look at this team heading into spring training as opposed to a year ago, what stands out as a big difference?
Well, obviously the big difference is Edwin Encarnacion is no longer around, and the Blue Jays are going to have to find the alternative solutions to replace the production that he lost. And I think a lot of that is going to have to come internally. The Blue Jays are going to need a better season out of Jose Bautista. They're going to need Troy Tulowitzki to avoid the two-month slump that he started the year last year. They're going to need a full season from him, and then they're going to need the replacements that they signed to really come in and step in and help fill that void as well. Kendrys Morales, the Jays think there's an awful lot of upside there moving him into Rogers Center, and he's going to have an awful lot of pressure filling some big holes in Edwin Encarnacion. But I think this is an approach where they're looking at a few guys to replace one, and that's really the biggest difference. And everything else, this is something that they're just looking to maintain the status quo. ALCS last 2 years, they're looking to get back there again.
And when you look at this team, there's a lot of things set that you don't really have to worry about coming into spring training. But if you had to pick a guy who could really surprise people during the spring and make a mark and maybe play his way onto this 25-man roster where it doesn't look like he will be right now, who would be that guy that could be a surprise?
To me, there's no question. It's Dalton Pompey, and left field is the spot that is by far the job that's most up for grabs on this team. He's going to be competing against Ezekiel Carrera and Melvin Upton Jr., and Pompey clearly has the most upside of anybody on that group. He's still just 24 years old. This really is his opportunity to take the starting job that a lot of people thought was going to be his a couple years ago. He was rushed to the big leagues. That hampered his development. But after spending a full year in AAA, this could be the year that he comes in. He's going to need a very strong spring training to do it. But more than anyone else this spring, I think Dalton Pompey is going to be someone to watch and really going to dictate what direction his future in the Blue Jays organization goes.
This is a franchise that has some star power for sure. One star has gone and Edwin Encarnacion leaving. I think if you have to say who is the star of the Blue Jays, it has to be Josh Donaldson, a guy who was most valuable player just a couple of years ago. So when you look at him heading into 2017, in 2 years in Toronto, he's just put up incredible numbers. Any reason to believe he won't do it again?
No, he should be. The expectation should be the same that it's been for quite a while. I mean, this is a guy who's finished top 10 in the MVP voting during each of the last 4 years. He's in the prime of his career. He's someone who's proven to be incredibly durable. He has battled some nagging injuries, particularly in 2016. But for the most part, he never had to miss an extended period of time. He just had to miss a game here and there. And that ability to remain on the field is going to be very key for this team, especially now that they don't have Edwin Encarnacion. There's a lot of pressure on Josh Donaldson before. I think there's going to be even more eyes on him in 2017 after some of the changes the Blue Jays made this offseason. But there's no reason to think that he shouldn't be up to the task. He's been one of the best sluggers in the game for the last 4 years. Considering his age and the way his career is going, there's no reason to think that he can't do that for bare minimum another couple of years.
When you look at what this team's done the last couple of years, making it to the postseason, and you look at the roster, not super young anymore, and the signing of Jose Bautista to bring him back, it's clear the franchise is in now mode, win now mode. Obviously, Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins have been there for a little bit now. So what is the overall vision of this franchise heading into 2017?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a balancing act because there's no question that the Jays are doing what they can to remain competitive. And I think they're doing that now with a little bit of a change in philosophy. Previously, we saw this organization under Alex Anthopoulos trade away a lot of its young talent, really depleted the minor leagues. That's kind of ruled out the possibility of making big trades. And so instead, the Blue Jays are trying to spread their money around and do a lot of their work through free agency in order to remain competitive. And we saw that with Kendrys Morales. We saw that with Jose Bautista coming back and some of the changes that they've made in the bullpen. They're looking to spend a little bit of cash and that therefore preserve some of their prospect capital. And what they're also trying to do while keeping one eye on the present, they're also keeping one eye on the future as well. And they're rebuilding the minor leagues, throwing a little bit of cash around with that as well by signing guys like Lourdes Gurriel to a minor league deal. And also just kind of making the deal that they made for Francisco Liriano, where they took on a high-priced player, got some prospects in the deal as well, and kind of acting like the way that the Red Sox and Yankees did for a very long period of time, where they used their money to throw their weight around a little bit and also try and rebuild the minor league system along the way.
Having a perfect season means something different for different teams, depending on where they are along the way. The Blue Jays, I think a perfect season means a World Series title, but what would it look like? What has to come together? Kind of describe what this team looks like in a perfect season.
Yeah, well, this team's going to have to win from the mound like it did in 2016. I mean, that wasn't the expectation a year ago. People thought the rotation was going to be a bit of a weakness. Obviously, that turned out to be a major strength. And going into this season, it's going to have to be led from the mound again. When you're bringing back all of your five main starters from a year ago and the results that they put up, there's obviously cause for a lot of optimism there. And I think internally the Blue Jays think that they can put up a better offensive season than they did a year ago. I mean, really, the offensive numbers from 2016 didn't match up with the reputation of this team. And certainly you can question whether or not they can improve on that after losing a guy like Encarnacion, but that's where I think a lot of the internal improvements are where the Blue Jays hope to make up some gains. Tulowitzki, Bautista, the addition of Morales, guys like that, they're hoping for a more well-rounded production 1-9, and that's what's going to have them rivaling with the Red Sox for the division. And certainly the expectation from this team is that they'll find themselves back in the postseason once again in 2017.
We talked about who could surprise in spring training. We talked about the star of this team in Josh Donaldson. But when you look at 2017 and what this team can do, who's the most important player on the roster?
Well, it's a close one between Tulowitzki and Jose Bautista, in my opinion. But I'm going with Bautista because, there's no question he had a down season in 2016. Health was a major factor for that. But getting his bat in the lineup on a regular basis, keeping him healthy throughout the year, and the upside that he comes with the power and really the desperately needed presence in the middle of the order, I think that makes him a crucial component. And then you look at the fact that the Blue Jays don't have a lot of depth to speak of in the outfield. If they were to lose him for an extended period of time, I think that would deal a major blow to this team's aspirations of the postseason. But if he can get back to the type of production that he put up from 2010 to 2015 with the Blue Jays, I think that there's a realistic chance that this offense could be better than it was a year ago. I think a lot of that pressure, a lot of that weight rests on Bautista's shoulders.
And then finally, spring training is upon us. Just for anybody who hasn't been down to Dunedin to check out spring training, Blue Jays fans getting out of the cold, getting down into Florida, what stands out to you making spring training for the Blue Jays kind of a special place for fans to go?
Well, to me, I think the coolest part about Dunedin, it's a very old, outdated stadium, but to me that's cool because it's smaller than a lot of the other spring training ballparks. Fans really get that typical spring training feel that you would have thought about over the last couple of decades. It's not the big ballpark. Fans have really good sight lines. They're able to get really close to the action. It doesn't seem like you're watching a spring training game in a major league ballpark. It really feels like you're in your local community somewhere seeing a lot of the big names up close. And to me, that's pretty cool when you can only fit about 5,500 fans or so in that stadium. Everybody gets close to the action, and it really provides a much different feel and vibe than you would get during the regular season. And to me, it's kind of what spring training was always meant to be. It just has that kind of easy exhibition type affair, and gives fans some views and some experiences that they wouldn't otherwise normally get. And I think that's one thing that Blue Jays fans really enjoy when they go down there. And for fans who haven't been down there before and they go down for the first time, I think that's one of the things that they are most surprised about is how close they can get and how laid back that atmosphere is, and really just a totally different perspective than you would get during the year.
Yeah, you get on those backfields, get to see some of the young players who aren't going to be on the major league club. There's a lot to take in at any spring training facility in Dunedin. Just one of many down there in Florida. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Blue Jays edition. For Gregor Chisholm, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week. Hey, everyone. Welcome into MLB.com Extras. It's our Orioles edition. I'm Tim McMaster, along with our MLB.com Orioles reporter, Brittany Giroli. And, Brittany, we're going to take a little break this week from our breakdown of the roster and heading into spring training and do more of a direct spring training preview for fans who are getting ready for pitchers and catchers to report just around the corner. So we're going to go through kind of some rapid-fire Q&A here to get people ready. And the first question for you is, what's the difference for this team heading into spring training? You think back to a year ago and where the Orioles were. What's different in 2017 as the Orioles approach spring training?
I think what's different is they hope that the pitching is better. Largely the same cast, but keep in mind Dylan Bundy's going to be in that rotation. They got Wade Miley, and they've got another year of Gausman and Chris Tillman, and they hope that group can take a step forward.
This next question may be a little tricky when you think about the Orioles. You kind of have on paper an idea of who's going to be in that starting lineup or on that 25-man roster. But who's a player that could surprise us this spring and really jump out and maybe earn a spot on that team where you didn't think there was one?
It's tough because they have a lot of spots already locked up. I think last year's surprise, Joey Rickard, is a guy that people are kind of forgetting about. So he'd be the closest to being a surprise because I think people kind of forgot about him. As I said, he was hurt. I think he's a guy who nobody's really sure. Was his success real? Was it not real? Can he be a contributor consistently at the major league level? Nobody really knows. And he's got options now. So he might not even make the team. So I think he's probably the guy with a lot of question marks around him.
All right. The next question is kind of a two-parter because of the Orioles. First, it is, you know, who is the star of this Orioles team? You have Adam Jones. You have Chris Davis. You have Manny Machado. Those are, I feel like, the three guys who stand out as the, you could make an argument that they're the face of the franchise. So tell me which of those guys is the face of the franchise, and then what are the issues facing that player heading into this season?
Well, I think two different things. I think the star is Manny Machado, but the face of the franchise has to be Adam Jones, who's been there longer, really established himself in the Baltimore community. So from that point of view, I think if you look at Adam Jones, the challenge is really staying healthy amid the fact that they haven't really upgraded their outfield defense as much as he would have liked. And for Manny Machado, I think the challenge is to continue to get better. I mean, where is the ceiling? Was it last year? It just seems like he keeps getting better and better, and nobody's quite sure how much is still left there. And it's clear he's a very special young player, but now he's getting into that mid-20 mark. Now I think you're going to start to see who he is, and he's going to hopefully hit a little further down in the order more consistently this year. I think the biggest challenge for him is to continue to follow up these ridiculous years that he keeps having.
Yeah, at some point you think a guy's going to plateau, but Machado just gets better and better. Every team has a plan. You know, the fans obviously have an idea of what's going to go on. The players do. But as far as a front office vision for the Orioles, what's the outlook right now heading into spring training? What's on the mind of Dan Duquette and company?
I think they're going to really be active in looking at other camps, trying to see if they can add some outfield depth and starting pitching depth. I think they're pretty pleased with how they've done this offseason, and they did make some good upgrades. They were able to get Mark Trumbo at an affordable rate. So now they have some money to spend if they feel like it can make this team better. So I think what's going through their head is to continue to make additions. I don't think the Orioles are anywhere close when it comes to filling out their team. They're going to continue to sign some players, and Dan Duquette said so on Saturday.
If you had to draw up or imagine the perfect 2017 season for this Orioles club, what would it look like?
I think it would look like the bullpen and the offense pretty much doing what they did last year and the starting rotation coming into play. I think it would, for the offense in particular, maybe look a little bit less strikeouts, a little more on base percentage. And again, I wouldn't change a thing about the bullpen. And I think if all of that happens, the Orioles can be a very, very dangerous team.
We talked about the star of the team slash face of the franchise with Manny Machado and Adam Jones. And maybe one of those guys is the answer to this question as well. Maybe it's somebody different. But the question is, who is the most important player on this roster in 2017?
Manny Machado would have to be the most important player on this roster, just offensively, defensively. What he's able to do, how much ground he's able to cover. That's a really good infield over there with J.J. Hardy and Manny Machado.
And then finally, spring training is obviously a neat place for baseball fans, and it's something that really other sports they can't really match, I think, what spring training is and the laid-back atmosphere and how it plays out with interaction with fans and players. So for Orioles fans who maybe have never been down to Sarasota to check things out down there, what makes Sarasota and spring training a special place for O's fans?
I think what's really neat about it, Tim, and what I've kind of seen over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, is the fact that Sarasota has become really embraced Baltimore and the Orioles. And everywhere you go, people are really into it. Obviously, you have the beaches, Fiesta Key beaches, some of the best beaches in the country, really good restaurants, and that Ed Smith Stadium complex, completely renovated, state-of-the-art, one of the best in the Grapefruit League. So it's got a lot going for it. And again, as I mentioned, they draw very well. That whole city is very much behind them. That area is very excited to have the Orioles there, and you really feel at home. If you're visiting from Baltimore, there's a lot of people that are behind this team.
Very cool. And just one more, you know, more reasons why people should go down there for spring training, especially people stuck up here in the North Brittany suffering through the cold. And I know Baltimore is maybe not as cold as Boston and Philadelphia, but it's cold enough that Sarasota is certainly good in mid-March. Thank you so much. Great stuff. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Orioles edition. For Brittany Giroli, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time. Hey, everyone. Tim McMaster here, as always, along with MLB.com Yankees reporter Brian Hoke. And we take a break from our breakdown of this Yankees roster as we get closer to spring training. And we'll kind of jump right into a spring training preview, so to speak. Brian, we have some rapid-fire questions, short answers from you as we go through it, just to get people ready for what they should be able to expect from the Yankees once they get down to Tampa and report for spring training, pitchers and catchers right around the corner. So the first question for you is, what is the difference for spring training this year as opposed to a year ago? And I know you can ask this of every team, but it maybe stands out more for the Yankees than anyone, the differences in this team from last year to this year.
No, for sure. I think you saw it in the last 7 or 8 weeks of last year. The focus is now on the future and the young players with the Yankees. And it's not just Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge, Tyler Austin, Luis Severino, the guys that you've already seen at the big league level. But this year in camp, you're going to be hearing a lot about Clint Frazier, Gleyber Torres, James Kaprielian. This is a big difference for the Yankees. Usually you know exactly what you're getting. It's guys like A-Rod and Derek Jeter and Mark Teixeira and Jacoby Ellsbury. Ellsbury's still there. Brian McCann's not. But the names are changing. I think that you've got a lot of guys just starting their careers rather than established stars now in camp. They've got a little mix there, but definitely trying to work in some younger talent. I think you're going to hear a lot of hype about these young kids too.
All right, next question is, who could be a surprise on this team? And obviously you have all these young players who are going to get a chance, and I think the Yankees expect high things from a lot of them. But who's one guy that maybe, when you look at it now, not likely to make the 25-man roster, but with a big spring could get there?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think Kaprielian is a guy like that. He missed most of last year. I think he pitched about 18 innings. He had a right flexor strain in his elbow, but he was getting that kind of hype last year, too. They were thinking about that he might be able to make his big league debut with a strong showing early in 2016. It didn't happen, obviously, but he came back, Arizona Fall League, threw 97 miles an hour. He's got the makings of a three-pitch mix there. You know, they look at him as a mid-rotation starter in his career or better. So I think that if he can come together and have a great camp, a lot of things would have to go his way. But we've talked about the Yankees are having a wide-open competition here for the final two spots in rotation, and I think that Kaprielian could get his name in that mix. I'm not sure if he can do enough to break camp with the 25, but I think he can do enough to leave an impression that he would be in New York before the year is out.
When you think about star power in the New York Yankees, there's normally a veteran guy who stands out as the superstar, or maybe there's most of a roster of superstars, but there's no Derek Jeter on this team anymore. There's not even a Mark Teixeira on this team anymore. So when you think about star, who is the star for the Yankees, and how much pressure is on him this spring?
Yeah, I think, look, I mean, if you want to say that the face of the Yankees, I mean, the guy who's been around the longest is Brett Gardner, but really the face of the Yankees, Gary Sanchez. That was historic, what he came up and did at the end of last year. We've never seen anything like it. It was set records, chasing records from 60, 70 years ago. Now the question is, what can he do for an encore? And I think you're not expecting Sanchez to hit 60 or 70 home runs, even though he was on pace to do that at times last year. But I think what you're looking at is the makings of one of the top five catchers in the American League. I think that's a conservative guess for him, and he might be better than that. So I think on defense, on offense, both sides of the ball, working with the pitching staff, this is a star in the making, and the Yankee fans are going to get a front row seat to see how it all turns out.
Every front office has a vision of sorts and how they expect their team to come together and kind of build towards the future. What's the vision for the 2017 Yankees?
So I think you want to continue the development you saw at the end of last year. They accelerated the process a little bit, obviously, with their sell-off at the deadline. They were able to restock the farm system. I think they were very encouraged by what they saw the last 2 months of last year. That team stayed in the pennant race. They were hungry. They got some playoff experience, or at least fighting for a playoff spot. They didn't make it ultimately, but I think the vision is carry that over into 2017. Hang tight in a very tough division. Compete, contend. Maybe you get a wild card spot. I mean, if everything goes right, maybe you can talk division, but I think the way this roster looks to me, I would think best case scenario is a wild card this year. You get that experience under your belt. It's a building year, 2018, 2019. Then you start thinking championship, and maybe you replenish your roster. Maybe you go make a big signing like a Manny Machado or Bryce Harper. Those are fun names to throw around. But for 2017, it's going to be fun to see these kids come in and get more experience and put some more numbers on the back of their baseball cards.
And then kind of playing off that same idea, if you had to imagine the perfect 2017 New York Yankees season, what would it look like?
Oh, you know, I think for the perfect everything goes right scenario, Masahiro Tanaka's got to be the ace. He's got to have a year like last year, really just go out and dominate, give them a chance every time. Michael Pineda's got to put it together. C.C. Sabathia's got to keep it together and have the same kind of year he did last year. One of those guys is going to have to step up in the rotation and in the battle in spring training. So let's say it's Severino or a Brian Mitchell or a Chad Green. One of those guys goes out and gives them 20, 25 really good starts. The bullpen is as good as advertised. I think if you can get those leads to the late innings and you've got maybe Adam Warren, definitely Tyler Clippard, Dylan Betances, Aroldis Chapman's back in the ninth inning, they can lock that down. And I think best case scenario, the bats come around a little faster than you think they are. Sanchez is for real. Greg Bird comes back healthy. Aaron Judge figures it out and makes a little more contact, doesn't strike out as much. Jacoby Ellsbury, Brett Gardner at the top of the lineup. This lineup should produce more runs than they did last year. That was a disappointment last year. I think they can outperform the A-Rod, Teixeira, McCann combo. But Sanchez, Bird, Judge, Matt Holliday, they've all got to go out and prove it. So I think best case scenario, starting pitching is pretty good. They score a lot more runs, and the bullpen is just as good as last year.
Seems like a good formula for pretty much any team in baseball. All right, so you already mentioned that Gary Sanchez is the star on this team now and is expected to be the star on this team. But who's the most important player as far as the 2017 Yankees that needs to come through? And it could be the same guy.
Yeah, I can make a case for Sanchez, but I'm going to go with Tanaka. I think that you saw what you got out of him. Finished just shy of 200 innings last year. I mean, he gave them a chance to win every single time out. He was 14-4. He pitched like an ace. He pitched like the ace they were paying him to be. He's not the same pitcher he was in 2014. That's okay. He's learned how to pitch with that tear in his elbow. And as long as he stays healthy, they're going to have a chance in this division. So they need him to be that guy, the guy they can trust every fifth day or sometimes on the sixth day. But regardless, you got to keep that guy in the rotation. They're going to bank on Masahiro Tanaka because if he goes down, you don't have a whole lot left in the rotation. So he's pivotal to me, to the Yankees, and you know, I'm sure that Joe Girardi and Brian Cashman feel the same way.
Obviously, Tampa is a special place in the spring as far as Yankees fans go in spring training. What stands out to you? What makes that area, that ballpark, a special place for New York Yankee fans to travel down to? Or I know there's plenty of them retired there in Tampa, Florida. That makes it special.
Yeah, other than the weather, and I can't wait for 75 and sunny. But I think that this is the year to go down. I'm curious to check it out because the Yankees have sunk some money into the complex. They've given it a little facelift. There's going to be more fan-friendly areas around the ballpark. Some nice suites and concourses and all that fun stuff that really makes spring training great. So I think that if you're a fan, you come out and there's the a right field picnic deck. You can go out, have a beer, have a hot dog, get some sun, watch the Yankees play a ball game, wander around. I'm curious to see what kind of fan-friendly amenities they're going to put in there. I think that they're expanding the complex. It started to show its age a little bit in recent years, but they've really stayed on it. And I think that's going to carry over to Yankee Stadium, too, because there's some new areas going in the Bronx. So the Yankees obviously putting money into their investment, trying to make it a more fan-friendly environment. I think the spring training is where it all starts. I mean, that's the more relaxed atmosphere, and I think that the fans are going to come out this year and want to see the kids, too. So definitely a good year if you're going to plan a road trip, come on down to Tampa.
Yeah, and more of the kids will be on the main field instead of the backfields this year that you're used to having to go to those corner fields way in the back to check out the youngsters. But they're going to be front and center this year. And you mentioned it, laid-back atmosphere, and that always stood out to me as far as spring training goes. If you've never been down there as someone living up in the north and suffering through the winter, you know, pick a year, if it's this year or next year, and go down and spend some time at spring training, because it's a great time. And get to more than one ballpark, too, not just Tampa and the Yankees. All right, that'll do it for us. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Yankees edition. For Brian Hoke, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time. Hey, everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with Bill Chastain, our MLB.com Rays reporter, as we take a break from breaking down the roster as far as this Rays team goes to take a direct look at spring training and what's to come, because it is right around the corner now, Bill. I'm down in Port Charlotte, the Rays getting ready to go. So we're going to go through some kind of quick reaction, quick answer topics. Love to get your thoughts, and that'll be the podcast for this week. So the first question is, what's the difference this year in 2017 as far as spring training goes and what Rays fans can expect as opposed to a year ago?
Heading into spring training, I think it's a much better fielding club. Obviously, you've got an established shortstop in Matt Duffy. You move Brad Miller over to first. He was a little bit of a question mark fielding last year. And then adding Colby Rasmus to left field, looks like it's going to be a plus.
All right. Question number two, who could be a surprise in spring training? And what I mean by that is when you look at this team on paper, there's kind of a plan, you would think rough plan of who's going to play out to be where and who maybe doesn't make the team. So who's a guy who, right now, as we look at it, doesn't look like he's going to be a part of this opening day roster, but could surprise and get there?
Well, I think Tim Beckham is, you know, the guy. I've been waiting for it to happen for him for a while, but, you know, you see a lot of things he does when he's out there, just like he had last year. He had a run of 8 consecutive hits. Sometimes he can look really good. It's really hard to play every now and then, and I just think one of these years he's just really going to break out. And I know Rays fans get frustrated with me saying that, but I just like this guy, and I wouldn't be surprised if this is the year it happens.
Bill, every team has a star or stars, but there's always one guy who's kind of that club leader, and for the Rays, that guy for a long time now, I think, has to be Evan Longoria, the third baseman. He's coming off a good year in 2016. So when you look at him now, obviously he's getting up there in age a little bit. But what can we expect in 2017? Is it going to be Evan Longoria, the standard guy at third base that we've come to expect?
Oh, I think so. And I think he figured out some things himself last year. He makes some adjustment for age. And, you know, I just like the way he gets out there every day, particularly at his, you know, he's older now. He's not a grandpa, but he's unquestionably the leader. And, you know, last year what he did gives you a good feeling going into this year if you're a Rays fan.
All right, the next topic is, what is the vision for the 2017 Rays? In other words, heading into spring training, if this team's going to be successful in the upcoming season, what's the direction they're heading into? What is that plan from the front office down to the team?
I think it's totally getting back to, you know, what their, you know, as Madden used to call it, their DNA. Their DNA was pitching and defense. And they got a little bit away from that last year. They made some exceptions, hoping to get better offense. And I think that ultimately hurt their starting pitching at the first of the year. It was kind of a perfect storm that starting pitching and the defense were both kind of tanking at the same time, and it really cost them. So I think that's part of their deal this year, is try and get back to that old formula.
Anything can happen over the course of 162 games. Teams that are expected to be great can have miserable years. Teams that are kind of afterthoughts can step up and have great seasons. So if the Rays were to have the perfect season in 2017, what would that look like?
Well, first off, it's going to be staying healthy. But after that, I think it's all about, you know, what the, you know, if the starting rotation performs up to expectations, and then also maybe having a couple of guys out there have career years, you know. It looks like maybe Kiermaier will be the leadoff guy. Who knows? Maybe he does something exceptional offensively. You know, maybe Colby Rasmus comes back and does his thing and, you know, really brings some power to the offense. And I know I've already seen Corey Dickerson, and he's lost 25 pounds. He looks great. You know, so I think they've got a lot of pieces in place. If things turn the right way, they could be a contender.
Bill, I'm not going to make you break down the whole 25-man roster here, but is there a guy that is the most important player on this Rays roster?
Oh, I still think it's Longoria. Okay. I mean, I think he's the unquestioned leader. He's got to be in there for them to play well. But I say that, and I also look back to last year when how bad they played when Kiermaier was away. So I think I'm going to give it to both those two guys.
And then the last question, fans make long trips for spring training, Bill, for a lot of teams, whether it's Arizona or Florida. That's not necessary for most Rays fans. Obviously, it's not too far, a trip from the Bay Area down to Port Charlotte. But for fans that haven't been down there and been at the complex, if they're planning on going this year or maybe help convince them to go, what can they look forward to spending a day at Rays camp?
Well, I think it's a chance to see their favorites in a more relaxed atmosphere. You know, you can watch the workouts ahead of time on the backfields. You might venture out to the backfields to see what the minor leaguers, you know, all the guys you read about who are coming up through the system look like. And then the actual venue at Port Charlotte is a nice venue to watch a spring training game. So it's a nice way to spend the day.
It absolutely is. And spring training is such a laid-back atmosphere. That's what I've always loved about it. The players are just kind of, you know, happy. They haven't dealt with the media too much yet. They seem a little open. They love signing autographs at that time of year. So spring training as a whole has always been, I think, a great fan experience. All right, there you go. Ready to go for spring training for the Rays in Port Charlotte. For Bill Chastain, I'm Tim McMaster. Thanks for tuning in to MLB.com Extras, our Rays edition. Hey, everyone, Tim McMaster here along with our MLB.com Red Sox reporter, Ian Brown. Ian, you're back. Jim Duquette stepped in for you last week, did a good job, but it's good to have you back on the podcast.
Good to be back, Tim. I thought Jim was going to Wally Pip me, but you know, I guess I'm all right.
Yes, indeed. You are safe. Trust me. Moving on, though, we're going to take a break from our positional breakdowns that we've been doing here on the podcast and kind of do a quick reset for spring training to get things ready, because Red Sox pitchers and catchers reporting this weekend, believe it or not. Hard to imagine it's been this soon. They're still getting over the Super Bowl victory, Ian, but time to look ahead to the spring and baseball. So I have 7 questions for you. And you just fire away with the answers. So question number one, and this one I think is pretty easy when it comes to the Red Sox. What's the biggest difference between spring training 2017 as opposed to a year ago?
Yeah, well, for starters, he's about 6'6" and weighs 180 pounds as a left-handed pitcher. So I think Chris Sale, all eyes are going to be on him. And to tell you the truth, Tim, I think it really does take away from the, you know, Big Poppy not being there, because there's going to be so much focus and excitement at Chris Sale and what he's going to bring to this team.
All right, and the next question is, who might surprise? And you can go different directions with this, whether it's a pitcher who finds a spot on the staff or a guy who maybe earns some more playing time. There's some intrigue in the catching spot as well. But who is your pick for a player who could surprise us this spring?
Yeah, I think I think a lot of people are still really skeptical of Pablo Sandoval and, you know, what he can accomplish this season. But overall, I'd have to say Blake Swihart. I think that this is a guy who's been forgotten about a little bit, Tim. And, you know, you have the three catchers there with Swihart, with also Sandy Leone and Christian Vasquez. And it was just a year ago that Blake Swihart was supposed to be the starting catcher for this team. And then, you know, he had a slow start, got sent down to the minors, came back, played left field, then got hurt. And now here he is trying to win that catching job back. So I think Blake Swihart is very driven.
This next question changes a little bit this year, because the question is, how is the star of the Red Sox doing? How's the star? And the big star of years past is obviously not there in David Ortiz. So first answer the question with, who is the new star of the Red Sox? And then kind of fill us in on where he's at heading into spring training.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go with, as good as Dustin Pedroia is and what he means to the team, but you got to go with Mookie Betts. I mean, he nearly won the MVP last year. He's just 24 years old, just entering his prime now. So where he's at is he's at the very peak of his career right now. So you figure the next 4 or 5 years or so are going to be the best years of in his career. So you just hope that the Red Sox can eventually reach a contract with Mookie Betts long term. So he's one of those guys who's in Boston for a long time, because there's really no feeling on what he might be able to accomplish.
The next question, Ian, is what is the vision? And I think this is interesting, because before David Dombrowski arrived, there was a clear vision of bringing in lots and lots of young talent, drafting it, getting it through the international market and all of that, and building up the system and then seeing where that took you. And now we're at a spot where this team is clearly in win-now mode. It's got some veterans, some young stars, but the system isn't quite what it was. So what's the overall vision for Dombrowski and company entering 2017?
Yeah, the vision is that, you know, a lot of these prospects you just spoke about, they're have really established themselves as major league players. And you're not wondering what they're going to give you now. You sort of know whether it's Bradley or Bogarts or Betts. You know, you sort of know what a lot of these guys are going to give you, and letting them in, you know, some pretty good players who are also still very productive, you know, whether it's a Chris Sale or a David Price or a Dustin Pedroia or a Hanley Ramirez. So you just now have a team that's, you know, locked and loaded and ready to win right now. And you hope that you can just sort of rebuild that that farm system to kind of make it what it was. So if you need to go out and get another Chris Sale in a couple of years, that's what you're going to go out and do. But the Red Sox still have some chips in their farm system too.
They certainly do. Devers and Groom, and there's guys down there that are going to be on the way, and high-end guys, which is what you always love to see. The next question is, what does the perfect season look like? And this is different for different teams. Obviously, teams on the rebuild want to see young talent improve and maybe trade some veterans at the deadline. But I think any perfect season for the Red Sox would end with a World Series. But what would it look like as far as getting there?
Yeah, I think it would look just if you keep these guys healthy, Tim, and everyone pitches like they're capable of, then I think you're going to have a great Red Sox team here led by their pitching. And pitching always wins. Pitching is what you do in October. And we saw last year, you know, the Red Sox didn't quite have the horses on the mound. And hopefully you have that with Chris Sale, kind of not only setting the tone, but taking the pressure off of David Price, taking some pressure off Rick Porcello. And I think if that starting rotation stays healthy, you know, the Red Sox are going to be awfully tough to beat in 2017.
All right, when you look at this roster, obviously a good chunk of it is wide open, Ian, but when you look at the positions, whether it's the back end of the rotation, the bullpen, some of the position players, what's the most intriguing battle here in spring training?
Yeah, really there's two of them. The fifth spot in the rotation, you have Steven Wright, Rodriguez, and Drew Pomeranz going for that final spot. So that's going to be something to watch. Actually, those three guys are going for the last two spots. The one guy is going to be the odd man out right there. And then the catching battle, if you talked about with Flyhart and Leon Vasquez, that's going to be, I think, a real interesting battle to see if it really is Sandy Leon's job or a real competition that's going to emerge during camp.
Yeah, and you certainly hope best case scenario in both those battles is somebody really comes out and looks great and clearly wins that spot, as opposed to guys kind of scuffling and John Farrell just having to pick somebody. Final question for you, Ian, is when you think about spring training for the Red Sox in Fort Myers, they've been in Fort Myers for a while now. In fact, they've been in two different homes in Fort Myers, but now they're in a great facility in JetBlue Park. It's an area that a lot of Red Sox fans have now kind of migrated towards. So what makes Fort Myers a special place in March for Red Sox fans?
Yeah, they've really done a great job with the new facility. You kind of do feel like they call it Fenway South, and it really does feel like that. You know, the park has been modeled after Fenway. It's just a quainter version of Fenway, and it's a beautiful place to walk around. There's the practice field. You can walk around and watch the guys practice on the sixth field or so for the first couple weeks of camp, and then the game starts. And it's always a great atmosphere there. And, there's a lot of restaurants and shops around Fort Myers. You can go get your fresh your Florida oranges and send them to your family members. So there's a lot of great stuff in Fort Myers, and a lot of Red Sox fans there.
Yeah, it certainly is, and it's always I find it neater to have the towns in Florida and Arizona where there's two teams kind of spending their time. You have that in Fort Myers with the Twins also there, and of course that leads to the, I don't know what they call it now, Ian. It was the Mayor's Cup, the Governor's Cup, the President's Cup. What do they call that cup now?
Yeah, some sort of county cup. Yeah, we don't have as much fun with it as we used to when it used to be an old-fashioned Mayor's Cup. But
now the mayor has other ideas now. But no, it's a fun thing down there in Fort Myers.
It certainly is, and it tends to have no bearing on what either team will do in the regular season, which is always good to see. All right, Ian, great stuff, and we can't wait to hear from you once you're down there in your secondary home of Fort Myers, Florida. You'll be heading down, I guess, very soon at some point this week. So thanks for getting us ready for spring training. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Red Sox edition. For Ian Brown, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.